Hi, I'm Bonnie. Welcome to our podcast, where along with my hosts, Elizabeth and Christina, we explore the joys and challenges of homeschooling and of family life. An awareness of beauty and an appreciation for art in all its forms has been an important aspect of our home education. As you know, the last few episodes, we've talked a lot about beauty and art. Years ago, I discovered Catholic Heritage curricula and was first introduced to their art appreciation resources for young kids. They have an art masterpieces series. A desire for a deeper understanding of art led us to CHC's program, Ever Ancient, Ever New. This program is in two parts. Part one of Ever Ancient, Ever New guides us from ancient art forms to the art of the Renaissance. Part two leads us from the art of the High Renaissance through to the modern era. What really drew us to this program was the art appreciation aspect of it and the history aspect of it with a distinctly Catholic perspective. But the program also presents art theory and opportunity for practice with a companion art pad that comes along with it. They give the children projects that they can work on to practice some of the art skills inherent in the program. CHC materials are always steeped in beauty, and this program is visually delightful. For us, it helped us cultivate a sensitivity for beauty and gave us a solid foundation in the eras of art and the characteristics that define them. The lives of artists and cultural influences that affected art are explored in the context of each chapter. One of the really awesome parts of Ever Ancient, Ever New is that it can be used independently from children about grade five and up, or it can be read together as a family. As something we've really valued in our family, this program makes art appreciation something that parents can share with their children without being overwhelmed by the idea of introducing art. Beautiful, it's simple, it's engaging. I will put a link to the program in the show notes. Have a look, and you can also enjoy all of CHC's art programs that they offer for younger kids as well. I am grateful for CHC's support of this podcast. Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome to my listeners, and welcome today to my guest, Krista Thomas. Krista, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Krista is the publicist for Tan Books, okay, St. Benedict's Press, and they partnered not that long ago, right?
St. Benedict's Press, Tan Books. Yes.
She is here today to talk to us about Tan's homeschool program, which is a fairly recent addition to Tan Books. She is enthusiastic about her faith, enthusiastic about this lifestyle, enthusiastic about education, and enthusiastic to genuinely help families make the most of their Catholic homeschooling experience through academic coaching and college prep exercises, which will be of interest for sure to listeners with older children. She's a mother of three, ages 16 to 23, been married 27 years. Is there anything you want to add to your bio before we get into the program itself?
Oh, that's so funny. No, not really in particular, other than I just homeschooled for 20 years.
Beautiful.
And completed that last June. So we're in a new phase of life, and it's a beautiful thing to see all that effort, all that sacrifice, the ups and downs that can come with homeschooling. Yeah, I'm just so, so blessed and grateful because my kids are, well, they're all the better for it, and it has nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with me being a tool and God using the tool.
You just have to get out of the way, right?
I have to get out of the way. Yeah, it took me a while, but it's great. So it's so nice to be able to help other families see that, yes, you can do it. No matter what excuse you want to give, God will find a way.
Exactly.
He will find a way.
Yeah, I only have another year to go. 31 years. So that'll be an amazing thing. Yeah. My husband's just retired. So we're really looking forward to sort of that phase of life. Yeah.
Right. My husband retired too. So it's an interesting segue of life to move from full-time work to being at home. And, but it's great. It's great.
So when you retire, you go to work.
Right. Exactly.
That is not what I'm going to be doing, but I appreciate it.
I hadn't anticipated it, honestly. I just really thought that I was just going to do a little bit here and there, part-time contract, and then the Lord just placed this on my heart to do, and I'm happy to do it, and He's blessed my family ever since, and hopefully the other families that have become Tan Academy families. That's really the goal, is to help encourage them that they can do it.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. So I'd like to kind of start with sort of a couple of big picture type questions. So what was the impetus for Tan? I mean, Tan has produced books over the years, many, many books, many of which I own, that support homeschoolers for sure. But what was the impetus to actually start a homeschool program?
That is an excellent question. a really great question. So, you know, TAN, if you notice some of these other curricula providers, that they do have books that are TAN books. And it just seemed the right fit to bring together a program for families, Catholic families, to homeschool using those same books that a lot of these other curricular providers are using that are our books, but try to bring it kind of into more of a balance for families that have that are large. And I would say, you know, really, when you think about homeschooling, it can be really difficult. And you would know this after 31 years. There are some subjects that you need to homeschool one-on-one and other subjects you look at and say, I can combine all of my children in this one subject. But is that particular text written that you can either teach up or teach down? Can you use that text across those multiple ages? And with TAN books, the answer is yes. And so Connor Gallagher, who's the CEO, a father of 15, very, very, I guess he is such a encourager in the homeschool movement, Catholic homeschooling. He himself and his wife, Ashley, you know, they've been homeschooling their kids. And it just made sense that they would put together a curricula as a guide for these families and to be able to homeschool for a path to eternity. We're really not interested in homeschooling to Harvard. We're really interested in forming families so that their children can appreciate the faith that they were blessed to be a part of in this family, and to help take that and evangelize that out in the world beyond homeschooling, beyond when they graduate high school. Really what the impetus is.
Beautiful. Okay, beautiful. Well, I'll tell you something. And my listeners are going to laugh when they hear this, because like, I knew nothing about you. I knew nothing about the TAN program, except a very little bit with Philip Campbell that I bumped up against. That's how I found out about it, because I interviewed Philip a couple of times and he was telling me about it. So, you know, I mean, I'm phasing out, so I'm not looking into sort of new things that we can get involved in, of course, you know, because I'm happy doing what we're doing. But you almost use a couple of phrases that I exactly use when I'm talking about how we do things as a family, that there's so much that is organically appropriate for families to learn together. And then there's the one-on-one subject. So that's what I'm promoting all the time as I talk about homeschooling with my families. Here's our one-on-one stuff we do. This is how to do that. And here's our big sort of things we do as a family and things that we integrate and how we do that, right? And so in the big scope of things, I actually ended up, I'm speaking about this all the time. A few years ago, I produced a video of a workshop that I give that's teaching people how to do this exact thing, right? You know, one-on-one and integrated family life learning, how we do that. I did a video series on it. It was like a full day workshop done video, because I couldn't get to all the places that I was being requested to get to. Anyway, at the beginning of COVID, I made that free because I just felt like it was an appropriate time to do that. And so it just went out there and just kind of went crazy. And that's, anyway, it was the impetus for this podcast. Because I think people are so desperate to make this simpler, happier, so that they can focus on what really matters, which is how we treat our children, how the relationships we have with our children, because they are both a reflection of God and how we get to heaven. I mean, let's just cut it right down to that. It's that simple, right? So
it really is. And actually, you drop on a great point, because when COVID hit, you know, that's when people were starting to realize what institutional learning looks like. And part of why a lot of people have homeschooled, that you'll feel like yourself 30 years ago, we already saw what institutional learning can do and what institutional learning cannot do. All respect to our teachers and our administrators and parochial schools and those teachers that are really trying to do a bang up job in the public schools. But when we really get down to brass tacks, I think we find that there are different learning styles. There are children that have learning behaviors. There are children that are motivated and beyond, beyond their years of that textbook that may be prescribed for third grade or fourth grade, but they're already at a sixth grade level. And so to hold them back is not really a good thing that we want to do. We want to see our kids flourish. So I think what's happened since COVID is people have figured out, wait, institutional learning, how does homeschooling look like institutional learning? And in fact, it doesn't. It doesn't look like institutional learning at all. And so you're playing with a whole new deck of cards and you get to play all these new games and thrive in what those goals are within your own homeschool family. And what are those goals? Well, for me, number one is going to be our faith. I don't want our faith to be a subject, although technically it is, but it won't be treated like a subject. This is an example of having all of your children learn at the same pace, in the same text, for religion, having a Socratic discussion about it, living out that gospel, living out what you're learning in your catechesis at home, even if it's not a USCCB prescribed Catholic religion, because ours is not, our holy faith is not, even though it is, has been published in 1958. It does have the imprimatur. We just haven't gotten around to it. But this is an example of saying, like, what do we want as a family? So TAN Academy serves to help put those families back in charge of their academic needs, how academic they want to be, if they want to go as classical as they want to go, or if they want to go traditional, or if they want to blend, which is really what we offer. We offer a blend of classical and traditional with the methods that help families learn together for eternity. So
beautiful. Okay. If you can sort of, another big picture question. So how does the program run? So if you can sort of give us a bit of scope and sequence in the program, and how does it operate so that we are
sure. Sure. So TAN Academy, what we like to do is we like to serve enrolled families. And in enrolled families, what they would end up getting is coaching sessions throughout the year so that they can have all of their questions answered that may have to do with transcripts. It might have to do with how to motivate your child, or how do I determine if I have learning disabilities with my child, or can I make a swap in this subject, or this program is not working, what can I do to help modify it for my child? That kind of thing. So these families would also, when their children are enrolled, they get 40% off on grade. Whatever enrolled grade their child is in, they would get 40% off TAN products as an enrolled family. Okay. And then on top of that, they get 20% off of TAN site-wide.
Okay.
So there may be a new release that you want to purchase. You would get 20% off that. Or if you wanted to purchase another product that we have in another grade, you would get that 20% off.
Can I ask a quick question about the enrollment?
Yes.
Okay, so first of all, does the do they enroll as a family, or do they enroll individual members of the family, or you know, one or the other?
Sure. I was going to touch upon that, actually.
Sure.
When you enroll, if you have two or more children, it's $500 for the enrollment complete.
Okay.
Then you would get 40% off on grade for those TAN products that you would need to purchase.
Okay.
If you have one student that you want to enroll, it'd be $250.
Okay.
So the coaching goes with the family. The coaching goes with the individual. So whether you want to go individual or family, but we've tried to be as affordable. In fact, I think we're probably the most affordable on the market.
And then as you add children in, how does that work financially? If you have seven kids that are homeschooling, or four or whatever.
Yeah, two or more children are going to be 500 total.
Oh, wow.
It's not as total. I'm literally saying you can have 12 children and it would be $500. Two children, 500. If you only have one child, it's 250.
Okay, that's great. And then the supplies that they would require that were TAN produced supplies would be at the 40% off. On that.
Correct.
So then you're sort of getting some age appropriate things and some family centered type things for that. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And then when you look at how TAN Academy operates, we really want folks to be on a schoolhouse model so that you are saving money. So let's say you have a second and a fourth and a sixth grader. We don't want you to purchase a second and fourth and sixth grade religion.
Right.
We really want to have a coaching session to figure out which of those religions of our holy faith would work out appropriately for all of your children right. and you to be able to focus on for
okay,
the year.
Nice.
So that's how okay. that works. We look at history as the same way,
yeah.
and we look at science okay. the same way too. So we require, when you're enrolled, we require three of our subjects to be followed. They're actually required. All other subjects, you may swap to another provider if you wish.
Okay.
So those three subjects are literature
okay.
and religion
okay.
and history, because we have designed the program so that those subjects dovetail nicely in content.
Okay.
And that's why we do it that way.
Okay.
So you wouldn't do sixth grade religion and fifth grade literature. Sixth grade literature runs with sixth grade history and also with the religion. So
gotcha.
That's why we try to say, even for high school, we do the same thing. From ninth through 12th,
okay.
you could actually, if you didn't want to do American history for ninth grade, which is the sequence, you could do 10th grade first and then go to ninth grade. You can move that around
right.
up and down, depending if you're coming in from another school or from another homeschool program, or you already learned American history and literature, you
gotcha.
May do that.
Okay.
So you can move up and down
okay.
kindergarten through eighth grade. You can move up and down in our TAN product series. We just ask that the literature stays
right.
the same, unless you're in kindergarten first or second.
Okay.
You know, that'd be a little bit.
Right. Right. Okay. And then are the sub, when you're fully enrolled, and let's say not just those three courses, do the subjects that you're covering, are they all TAN published subjects? Like you
yes.
guys have come up with a science program and I know history because of Philip. But
so that's why those are the TAN products that are 40% off when you enroll. And of course, we do have some families that are eclectic. They get it. They've been doing it for a while. Maybe they won't enroll, and we're fine with that. We really do encourage.
Okay, that was my next question, actually. Can you pick and choose? Okay.
You can pick and choose. We really want our families. You don't get the coaching, of course.
Right.
But there are people that can understand the sequence because they themselves have homeschooled or been homeschooled. And
yeah.
we really want to put this in the driver's seat of the families to figure out what works best for their lifestyle.
Okay. Yeah. And for me, like, you know, I mean, I was very much preferred to create my own structure and not be sort of have any structure imposed on me. It's sort of, I had a real, you know, back go up.
kind of. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
But it sounds like we have the total freedom to do that, that we could pick your history program or pick your literature program. And then that's all we do sort of thing, that we could operate that way.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That's great.
Yeah. And when you do enroll, and when you're looking at trying to combine your children, so say, for instance, even in science, because we have a new science program that was written by a professor from Belmont Abbey. And this is such a fantastic program. I'm going to give you an example of what happened last year when I started receiving them in order to put the lesson plans together with my team. I had it out on the coffee table. Now, mind you, I have two college students, and my senior last year was actually doing college classes during her senior year. And my husband walked by, and
right.
they are constantly picking up the Foundations of Science books and reading them, because it doesn't matter if you're in first grade or if you're an adult. It is meant to be the foundation of science in a liberal arts kind of way that families can kind of learn together.
Right.
So I just had to bring that up because it is such a wonderful science program. So we offer plants and we offer earth and oceans and animals, and those can be one semester or they can be spread out for 1 year, where you would add on additional supplemental reading, field trips, documentaries.
Okay.
It just depends on what you want to do. For the younger grades, I want to say first grade and second grade, we recommend spreading it out for 1 year. But we have had families that have just moved
okay.
straight through and enjoyed it so much that they'll go to the next text.
Okay. Oh, that's lovely. Oh, we'll have to try one of those. I want to pop back to the enrolled topic for just a moment. So you had mentioned a couple of things as you were saying what enrolled looks like and what's provided, you know, with the coaching and supporting learning disabilities and whatnot. Do you have sort of direct support? So families decide to enroll and they, you know, have a child or two with learning disabilities. Is that something you have direct resources to help them with?
We actually do. We
okay.
actually, I mean, not in-house, So we do make suggestions for those professionals that we have partnered with that are excellent in their field. And so we try to help those families get those resources that they need, get the help that they need. Okay. But also what's really nice, and this is what a lot of families find out in coaching, is that they may feel like they're behind, and you can never be behind when you homeschool, because we're not an institution, right, at home. We are going at the pace of the child. So what families often find is that even if they're a week or 2 or 3 weeks behind, that it's okay to tweak as you go along and figure out how much you want to do or how little, depending on your child's ability to progress at that level.
Yeah, when my kids were in high school, if they were ever using a text and they were concerned, like, I'm not going to finish this by the end of the year, I would just say, you know what? When I was in school, our teachers had full ability to just say, you know what, we're actually not doing chapters 8 through 10. We're just jumping straight to 11. They would just tweak as they went. And so I just thought, well, it really is, it's just fine, right?
Yes, that's what we really want to encourage families. So I always say this, did we ever finish a math book? Because I grew up in public school system. I was educated in a very nice public university that I still am very proud of. But I look back and think, even in those college classes, we did not cover every single subject. One of my daughters was in a psychology class, which, you know, very, very careful about those kinds of classes. And even that, because we live in a conservative area, that was an okay class for her to take. But even that particular professor skipped over some of those, what I would consider secular, anti-God chapters, and didn't even cover them. So I feel like with, at least with TAN Academy, you know that the TAN books that we recommend, and even those that we are recommending that are not TAN books, they're going to be your faith is going to be absolutely okay. However, if you find that you need to tweak as you go along, you need to skip a couple of chapters, or maybe you get 75%. That's really my litmus, is if you can get about 70 to 75% of a book covered in a year, you're golden. I don't see the point in continuing into the summer unless you were a year-round homeschooler and you're doing homeschooling like maybe 2 days a week or 3 days a week. But really, we kind of look at our own program and say, science is 3 days a week. History is 3 days a week. You're not doing it every day unless you wish to stretch it out and add or, you know, split up some of our lessons into like that 5 day sequence. Totally fine.
Yeah. My listeners will really appreciate that, you know, first of all, that we can tweak, you know, second of all, you know, things can go incomplete and it's just okay. Right. You know, if our children, I always say that if our children decide to go into a certain topic and it's not fully covered, they can always do some supplementary stuff. Like say, for example, they go into medicine and they go to get a science degree and their science is lacking. They can spend 3, 6 months, whatever, just delving into science on their own, right? That kind of upgrading, you know, at a college level or whatever, upgrading so that they can get into the program that they want to get in. There's nothing, in terms of education, nothing carved in stone.
Well, exactly. And as a matter of fact, to go to medical school, you don't even have to have a science degree. You can get a liberal arts degree. And when you graduate and you try to get into, you know, one of the preferred medical schools, they will often tell you what science classes you need, which you can pick up at a college or even online. So you know what? That's what's so great about homeschooling, is that we're not boxed in into a track like you might find in an institution where you're on this track. Well, maybe 1 year you didn't read that well. I think that it's hard to label children at such an early age. And I think the world is your oyster. The Lord's going to figure out where your vocation is, what charisms he's given you through the Holy Spirit. Let that kind of play out. And so learn as you go. If you don't cover everything, you'll see it again.
Yes. Three or four or five times.
Right.
Yes.
How many times have you been in algebra? One. And then I realized, like, okay, that's not my forte. So I'm going to find someone that is their forte, whether it's at the community college or online in a math class, and they get that exposure and what they need. That's why I love the fact that we swap math. We swap science. If you want, you can swap your Latin program.
Do you have your own math?
We actually recommend Saxon.
Okay.
And I usually tell people this, I don't really recommend, this is me personally, yeah, even though we recommend Saxon all the way through. I actually don't recommend Saxon until about fourth grade.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a huge Saxon fan myself. So we did do some of
yeah,
it.
But yeah, but I love it.
Yeah.
Fourth through eighth grade. Okay. I love the program. And then high school's like, nope, we're tweaking. We're liberal arts people. And yeah, I think that's the difference. If you have STEM children and you're a STEM person, Saxon fits the bill all the yeah way through. If you're liberal arts and your children are mostly liberal arts, my suggestion is like, go with a workbook,
yeah,
save some money,
yeah,
and they're still going to end up at the same place by the time they get to high school anyway. So
yeah,
yeah, a lot of people fret over the small things, and
yeah,
I've realized,
and we just
we have to give them encouragement.
Right,
we have to encourage them to let them grow at their pace. Learning should be fun, and we should be, you know, really working on their formation, you know, some of these virtues like obedience and motivation and charity, you know.
Father Mike uses this great phrase. He uses it a few times in the Bible in Year podcast. I don't know if you listened to it, but it was fantastic. I'm on my second round now. He uses this great phrase, the plus one theory of education, right? And he's talking about how God was taking a sort of a barbaric, kind of brutal society and moving it one step closer to a Christ-like society throughout the ages, right? But when he said that for the first time, I thought, oh, well, that's, you know, what I believe about academic education, that we're, you know, or spiritual education or discipline or whatever, all the things that we want our children to learn. And we take them just from where they are, one step forward. And then when they've, you know, mastered that, they're there. I think that's the key to why homeschooling is so successful, because kids are, it's a mastery program, right? They master something, then you move on. They master something, then you move on. One step theory of education, right? It's just a great process.
Okay, I think partly it's just we have grown up with an institution that tells us it's A, B, and C, and there's nothing else outside of that. And when you realize like, oh, wait a minute, my children don't have to take the ACT. My children don't have to take the SAT. And how many families do I know that have sweated blood over those tests to find that they didn't receive the scholarships anyway? And I'm going to put a plug in for CLT, by the way, because I love the fact that they have a...
What is CLT?
CLT is the Classic Learning Test.
Okay.
That particular program is based off a classical model. And if you haven't trained your children up in the classical model, that's okay. They're still going to do very well on these tests. There's actually a study guide that you can purchase, and you can start working on that if you wish. And if we go off on a tangent here outside of TAN itself, because TAN can actually prepare students for college, can prepare students for religious life, and can actually prepare people for vocations and also for trades and technical schools. So we're looking at a well-rounded formation academically, spiritually, socially for the child. I'm putting a plug in for CLT because families do have other options. And then, of course, I would say go with the Cardinal Newman Society. Right. Stick with those colleges. And when you get accepted, and you will, then one thing you've got to do with every single college for about 3 months is to work with them on getting the price down. You can negotiate tuition no matter what they say. You can negotiate, and it's our duty to do so, because we are most homeschooling
right
families are one income. We have multiple children. These schools have quite a large donor base. And so I think that it helps our children, especially when we put them in the driver's seat of actually asking for more money, when they give you a package, to go back to them. We need to negotiate it. Otherwise, you know, we might look at just sending our children for 1 or 2 years. That's it.
And so some of the coaching that you're doing would include this, like how to...
Yes, they need it. I mean, families, why not learn from people that have already gone down that path
and
impart this information that they may not know? Like the CLT, for instance, you know? And the fact is that if you take 1 or 2 college classes while you were in high school, which you can swap out, like say, for instance, at TAN, the required ones are going to be literature, history, and religion, history, and literature. But aside from that, you can still take a science class. You can take a math class. When a college sees that, they're seeing that A or the B, and they know that they're college ready. So it really won't matter too much about your scores. So I say ACT, SAT, it's all common core stuff, and I'm anti that, and I boycott it myself. So why not go with some program that's a little bit better, some testing through the CLT if you want to go that direction? And a lot of these Cardinal Newman Society schools are now looking at those standardized tests and rethinking if that should be their litmus for scholarships and for entry, which is brilliant. It's brilliant because I think we want to look at the whole person and not just one aspect. One person might, one student might not be a good test taker, whereas somebody is off the charts test taker, but is not very good at essay writing. So I think, and then we have to look at what those students are doing for extracurricular. Did they start a business? Can they show leadership through whatever activities that they're doing? I think these are really important things that we need to do and kind of see what these children are, where the Lord is leading them, and what their interests are, to see if college is even appropriate for them. Maybe instead of $60,000 or $100,000 going toward an education for 4 years, maybe take half that money, get a loan, and start a business. Maybe.
Right. That's the answer. Oh, I know. That's the thing, right? But we have to be so open to who they are as a person and you know, preparing them for that future. So a couple of questions come up for me. One is this available beyond the U.S.?
Yes.
Most of my listeners are American, but I have a good chunk of Canadian and U.K. listeners. So, okay, so it can
We have a few international families. One is actually in Nairobi. Yeah. I love having coaching sessions with her. She is such a – well, actually, all my families, they're just so sweet. And you know their heart is in the right place, no matter what hurdle they have to jump over. But we try to help them see that they are doing what the Lord is asking them to do, and just have patience with themselves and their families. And because I've been there, done that. You know, burnout is a real thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The doldrums around January, February, March is a real thing. We try to encourage even our families to make sure that the spouses are going on dates, that they're taking. We try to help them, because I do have some families too that they are working part-time and trying to make it happen. So we use these coaching sessions to schedule out what their week should look like. And if some families are doing more than what Tana's asking, and they're adding on another curriculum on top of it, and they're wondering why their children are burned out. And we don't want that either. We really want there to be a happy medium and balance in the family. And enough time to go to Mass, enough time to, you know, put Eucharistic adoration in the schedule, enough time to have the family rosary, you know, things that are really, really important.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. So do kids come out with like a certificate at the end that shows they've either done that grade or done sort of graduated high school?
If you enroll, that there is actually a certificate in the back of the lesson guide that the parent can fill out if they need. Now, also for enrolled families, at the end of the year, we offer report cards. So we have a platform. The family would go in, input the data that they feel that the child received, you know, as far as grades go. And then that just kind of generates the report card form that they can then print off and utilize whatever authority they need to, or just within their own, you know, to show their child, like, this is how you did this year.
Okay.
Sometimes we forget all of the things that we did in that year and feel by the time April, May, did we do anything? But that's when the next thing is a transcript, or if you have a student planner for each child, you go and flip through and you realize, my goodness, we did a lot this year. A lot of good stuff, that wholesome learning.
So the transcript, so do you help as part of the coaching, you help them put together their transcript then?
I can help them put together transcripts. Yeah. Yes, it's true. Our coaches can do that. There's also what we do a lot of times is show people a transcript generator where they can use one. They can either pay for one or utilize a free one.
I have a beautiful free one on my website that I developed that I'm very proud of. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
What? Oh, that'd be terrific. You should, everybody should know that. And I will include that in I would like to put that in our coaching manuals when we teach new coaches. Yes.
Oh, that'd be great. Well, I'm very pleased with it, because what I did is I have about it's maybe 5 or 6 pages per grade that they, the person's, it's like the parent's working copy. So they, it's broken down by subject and they can write down everything they did, the grade the child received and whatever for each grade. They just print off this set of pages for each grade. For my daughter, I've got all 4, like 9, 10, 11, 12 in a, like a Duotang, and I just write it in each year. And then I have the transcript at the back. So I have like a working copy transcript. Perfect. And then a good copy.
Actually, that you say that, Tan Academy is about to launch their new standalone website. So you can get to Tan Academy through tanbooks.com, but we're about to do that. And one of the things we're adding is a resource a page for all homeschoolers, whether you enroll or not. So I would really like to add that too.
Okay, I'll
that's
pop
fantastic.
In an email to you. Great, yeah, you. Yeah. I'm happy with it. It was a lot of a labor of love, but it was just one of those things. I thought my people need this.
They do. You know, sometimes people don't know what they need because they don't know, and so it's up to us to help. You know, basically create that path so it's easier for them and they're not spinning their wheels doing something over. Yeah. It's like when they first came up with a wheel. You can't really improve on a wheel, can you?
Yes.
Right. I mean, from a square to a wheel. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's not reinvent that wheel. We've already got it.
Let's not do that every single time. It doesn't make any sense.
And I would have loved to have had this kind of help. And we did, you know, we did have folks along the path that have been homeschooling a lot longer, right? I would say probably 40 years ago, we had that first wave of people who were really on that movement. And they were on their own island. They didn't have the support, but then they were able to, they're the pioneers really that I look up
to. They really were.
And really,
well, and we in Canada, we're about, say, 10 to 15 years behind the U.S. in the homeschool movement. And so we saw those kind of pioneers around the time that I started homeschooling was very, very few women. But they, you know, even in terms of legislation, they were people sort of fighting for rights. And I sort of stepped into that at very early stages. And we were really looking to the U.S. as the U.S. was starting to see graduates. We were like, okay, what is this looking like now? Are they able to get into university? Are they able to? So it was nice to have that. And now European countries are looking to us, you know, U.S. and Canada, and seeing, because the homeschool movement is relatively new there.
Right.
And they're looking here to say, okay, well, how did that all pan out?
Right.
And of course, now everybody knows somebody who homeschools.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It's great. I mean, you could go to the grocery store with your children now in the middle of the day and people aren't looking at you funny saying, wait a minute, is school out today? Shouldn't you be in school? Why are your children in the backyard? Should I report you? I mean, seriously, I'm like, wow, because there was such a bias that now people, especially COVID, I mean, if I could say anything about COVID fallout is people have recognized, wait a minute, these structures that we saw in place that we believed in, we actually have a bias for. And we have to take the bias away and say, what are the fruits? Let's look at the fruits. And the fruits are happy, healthy families. It doesn't necessarily mean a new car in the driveway, but it might mean a new science curriculum for next year that they just, you know,
fell in love with. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say one comment and then I want to talk to you about some highlights of the program. So first of all, a meme came out at the beginning of COVID and it was just so funny. It was a, you know, one of those top and bottom memes. So it said, how we viewed homeschool moms before COVID, and it was moms with kerchiefs on their heads and long denim dresses and you know, sort of sitting around in this, you know, with all the children at their feet. And then the bottom was, how we view homeschool moms now. And it was like a woman in a Superman cape who was conquering the world.
Exactly.
Because, you know, we were all forced homeschoolers. So yeah, it really changed the perception, which is, you know, that it is good. It was timely.
Timely. I know. And, you know, you just think there's going to be good out of all things.
Absolutely.
Isn't that what the Lord tells us? You know, there's going to be good out of all things, even at the onset doesn't look good. And it's kind of like starting homeschool. It can be very daunting for a lot of people who've not known too many people who've homeschooled.
Yes.
Maybe they're getting pushback from the parents. Maybe they're getting pushback from the community. Maybe even their pastor, their priest. I mean, we really have to just stay on task. And if the Lord is calling us to do something, then, you know, it's nice to know there are resources out there to help those homeschool families go that distance to make it. And I always say homeschool 1 year at a time.
Yeah.
Don't ever look beyond. Don't worry about what happens beyond. Only homeschool for that year because you don't know.
You don't know. And also, you know, I mean, even we could carry that a little further and say homeschool for today, right? Like get through this day, you know, don't worry about next week. Don't worry about the test. Don't worry about grade 11. Don't worry about that stuff. Just love the children who are in front of you and
Amen.
Teach the children in front of you.
Right. And so we get so wrapped up. I had one mom and she was getting wrapped up in the fact that she couldn't finish her liturgy of the hours, you know, and so forth. And that was really more important than taking care of the children. And I thought, well, the Lord is not going to be upset that you didn't finish the liturgy of hours. The Lord is going to say, did you love my children? Did you love my flock? You know, and loving them means that sometimes those things are so important to us that we hang on to. We have to let that go a little bit. Yeah. Maybe find a different time. I had one mom, because I was doing this, I had one mom say, well, you just need to get up earlier. And I thought, I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning anyway, just to prepare for my day. You're asking me to get up. I won't be the kind of mom you want by 1 p.m., you know? But it was a good lesson in understanding that, you know, maybe you take the Liturgy of the Hours, if that's so important, and it's a good thing in and of itself, but maybe you take it and you're not going to do all of them throughout the day. You'll just pick two. Mm-hmm. Just pick those two.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I had to pray the rosary when I was taking a shower because I just couldn't fit it in.
Exactly. You know?
We really want to love them where they are, where their children are.
Yeah, for sure. One of the benchmarks that I recommend to moms is if you're trying to do something beyond your direct vocation, which is your marriage and your children, if you're trying to do something beyond that, if you can do it and not compromise the charity with which you treat your family, then go ahead. But that's a benchmark. But if you lack charity, if you're trying to, you know, practice piano every day and you are barking at your kids because of it, find a different way. It might not be the season for that. So let that be your benchmark. Let charity be your benchmark, right?
I totally agree with that because we do have quite a few families and I myself went through this. I did do a little work as time went on and only because one of the pieces of advice that my mom gave me was always try to keep yourself in motion, doing something. So if something happens to your husband, and my husband was in a line of work of law enforcement, so I can see why that was important. But my mom was in a time where it was the Vietnam War and a lot of these women graduated high school and they had to go to the typing pool when they found out that their husband had passed away overseas. And here they were trying to support 5 or 6 children. So I understand why some women feel like, oh, I need to help support my family. However, I think you've touched on such a great point is that the money, I wouldn't even worry about the money, frankly.
Yeah.
I would just look at, are you being the mom that God is asking you in your vocation, not barking at your children? You know, if you are barking at children, what is doing that? Is it an outside influence? Is it you're spending too much time on something else? It could be even electronics, by the way. Some people are addicted. It could be, for me, it was caffeine. I had to get off caffeine because by 2 o'clock, I was agitated. And there's no reason for that, right? We have to really kind of delve into who we are and our weaknesses and say, okay, I'm going to identify that. I'm going to go to confession. I'm going to get spiritual direction. I'm going to do those. I'm going to give up those things that are not really helping my children get to heaven. Now, is it okay for my kids to see that I'm weak? Yes. Is it okay for my kids to see that I need to apologize? Well, lead by example, right? Yeah, but that's a really good point. Yeah, we have to find a balance in our home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you know, we need to sometimes look for help. And you're obviously coaching, and you're coaching some people sort of lifestyle wise. I did a recent interview. It actually comes out this week, but it'll be out by the time this comes out, on a Catholic mom who's a life coach. And she said, I just help people, you know, through the bumps. And I thought, you know, how often in my life would I've wished that somebody could just help me through the bumps, right? And, you know, we have to find a way. And there's lots of resources now, my goodness, you know, so much more than there was 30 years ago.
Right. And I think the people aspect of it, having that one-on-one with someone who's been there and who can understand, it's super helpful. Helpful. I know I've had many women over the years help me, but they were typically older women. Mm-hmm. You know, they had either been homeschooling for over 10 years or they had homeschooled for a little bit. Maybe they had to go in the workforce, so they understood. And also people who've never homeschooled, but they're older and they have been through their hurdles in some other capacity that you can actually relate to in homeschooling. We are very, very blessed, especially if we're in communities where the pastor of our parishes are pro-homeschooling, pro-families. I mean, they have so much pressure to be the best priest, right, for their flock and have homeschooling families on top of it with their hurdles, whatever that may be. I mean, we are very blessed if we do have cooperatives that meet once a week, if we have pastors who are having homeschool masses at the beginning and end of the year, opening up the churches for these families. We are very, very blessed in the women who are actually leading them.
Yeah. And don't despair if you don't have that and you're listening to this and you feel like you're, you know, there's those things are lacking in your life. There are many, many online forms of support as well. I mean, obviously Tan being one of them now, and, you know, but online coaching or podcasts that are, you know, on my podcast, it's meant to encourage, uplift, inform, you know, that mentor, you know, but there's many other people doing this kind of thing. Yes, absolutely. We should look to building our own personal flesh and blood communities. That's a big rant of mine. But in the meantime, as you're doing that, there are many ways to find support online as well.
Right. My suggestion for a lot of families that actually call and they're in a state, typically in the plains states, but they don't have the kind of support because they're out on farms. I would even say in South Dakota, you know, it might be an hour to drive into Rapid City, for instance, to just become part of a group. But that in itself is a good thing to do, even if it means driving an hour once a month or once a week. And the real issue, I think, is that there's so many people that are waiting for something to get started when we need to put ourselves in the, if you see a need, start it. See where the Lord is going to take it, because He will. If your intention is right with His will, He will make it happen. Absolutely. He will make it happen. And it could be a once a month get together. I remember I was thinking probably even like 7 or 8 years ago, I thought, wouldn't it be fun to have kind of an Olympics with our homeschool group? And so we did that for 3 years and all the parents had to participate. It was so fun. We had a blast. And so there's all kinds of things we can do. You can start field trips and
just a movie just and discussion even night get together. Or whatever. It doesn't have to be difficult, right? It doesn't have to be difficult.
It does, and it can be in your home. It's true. And maybe people can drive to you on a Saturday or what have you. But
yes. Okay, we have a few minutes left, so I really want to, you just tell us what you feel are some of the highlights of the program. Now, I would say Philip, for sure. Now, I have not perused the program. The only thing I have used is, now it's not called Philip's program. What is the actual name of the program?
Story of Civilization,
Story of Civilization. So it's a history program that's all kind of all encompassing. Now it's very much geared at sort of middle school.
Elementary and middle, yes.
And I've used it with my daughter in the last year or so. We're studying ancient cultures and whatnot, and I'm using it now. She's almost 16. She's very academic. We just use it as a jumping off place to give us the backbone structure of the historical era, and then we supplement up, right? That's how I've always operated. But because it's so well done, it wasn't like, okay, this is too juvenile for her. I'm not using it. It's a really, really good structural backbone, right?
It is. I have a few things to say about that. And I love Philip. He is a fabulous writer. He's very engaging with his audiences. I love the audios. So back in the day, we didn't have Philip, right? We had another program that was very anti-Catholic.
Interesting.
Okay. Yes. And that program is all that we had. So a lot of us that were using it and loved it kept saying, gosh, there needs to be a Catholic one of these. And by all means, it's a wonderful program. It's just, you're going to have to do a lot of apologetics.
Right.
So what happened is Philip Campbell came along, Tan picked him up and said, what a great idea. And it has been going gangbusters since. So Story of Civilization starts with the ancients, Story of Civilization 1. Then it moves to medieval times, Story of Civilization 2. And then to the modern, which is Story of Civilization 3. And then you have Story of Civilization 4, which is American history. Tan Academy What we do is we start at the second grade, and it's second is story of Civ 1, then you move up. Third grade is story of Civ 2. Story of Civ 3 is fourth, and then fifth grade is the American history one, story of Civ 4. What's really nice about that is that you can actually take that four-year cycle, kind of like classical, but you can take that and you can move up from sixth, seventh, and eighth. And then in ninth grade, you can start the Tan Academy High School program as is. So you can actually use it for the upper middle school. And if you have children that are in kindergarten and first grade and you have older children, you can put them all together and start with cycle one. Or if you've done cycle one, you can start with cycle two. But a little plug for Philip, he actually wrote some other wonderful history programs for us. So one is called Story of the Bible, and it's Old Testament, the same kind of set. And then New Testament, Story of the Bible, New Testament, same set framework. And then in seventh and eighth grade, we split those two, and you use the same program, and it's Story of the Church.
Okay, so when I have that one. We're going to start it in next, yeah.
I love it. And the great thing about Enrolled Families is they actually have access to Professor Kathleen Lewis, who gives them every week a lecture, and it's streamed so they can just download that whenever they want to go with the program. So what we do is we just start with Bible for kindergarten and first, and then you can start working up your way through Story of Civ and then Story of the Church. So he has been super instrumental in bringing to Catholic families without having to spend time doing all the apologetics. He's already got everything covered in the history that I myself as a convert had no idea.
It took me
the TAN products when I was using some other curriculums and piecing them together. I was always drawn to the TAN history programs, the books that they had. So Ann Carroll's one of them. She wrote some fantastic textbooks. Yes. And that was my first inclination that, oh, wait a minute, I'm getting this secular history and I'm missing out on a whole piece of evangelization that the Lord gave all the apostles and for all the popes on down, that this is what we are to do. So the framework for history today is actually incorrect, in my opinion. I'm very, very grateful that TAN has this program. And you can use it for high school if you have, if some of your students are a little bit, they need that kind of hands-on, because that program does include audio, it does include the textbook, includes the activity book, workbooks. You can buy the whole set or you could buy different components of it. So it's really a good program.
Yeah, for us, we're just reading through the early cultures, right? Ancient cultures, and just reading through the text and supplementing up, right? And yeah, so it works, it's very sort of user friendly. You could, if I had younger kids, I would be also supplementing down to them, right? If I still had a house full sort of thing. But so what would you say, last question, what would you say is sort of the another highlight that you think would be worth sharing with our listeners?
Well, families have told me that this is a blend of Seton and Mother Divine Grace. And I think that is super key because there are components I love about Seton and there's components I love about Mother Divine Grace. But this program is kind of a blend of the classical and traditional, puts the families in the driver's seat. You have a lesson guide that's really a guide that you can tweak as you go along. And you are not beholden to actually stay in a math program or stay in a science program that you don't like, or even English grammar or writing. We do recommend excellence in writing, but that's starts with a certain grade, of course. And we have some other resources that families can use. So bottom line is, we're a gentle approach to homeschooling where you can put all of your kids together for their formation, and you can teach up, you can teach down, you can make your swaps in any other subject other than literature, religion, and history. You get report cards at the end of the year. The grading is yours.
Is that something you can opt out of if you wish?
The report cards are for enrolled families, so you can opt to use it or opt not to use it. It's just, it's value added. I would just say it that way, yeah. Exactly. And of course, the coaching. We have 30-minute sessions. So if you need another session and there's not another family behind you, we'll roll right into the next session. And they are in control of when those sessions take place because we have an online platform where they actually choose their time. And we can either do a Google Meet or we can do a Google Phone. It's up to them. We're just trying to be available. Yeah.
So first of all, when does the website launch?
I'm going to say in the next month. I think that's what the
project. Okay, so it may be up by the time this airs.
Probably. And also with that, open enrollment will occur in April for the next academic year. Right now it's closed. Okay. And then secondly, if people want, they can go to calendly.com/ Coach Krista, K-R-I-S-T-A, they can get a 15-minute complimentary coaching session.
Beautiful. I was going to ask my next question.
Yes. And so they can certainly do that. And I'm happy if people want to contact me. It's Krista at Tanbooks. I'm happy to do it. So, yeah, we're really just trying to help the families out there that are either newbies or maybe they've been doing it for a long time, but we think that we've got the best blend out there right now. And put the homeschooling back in the driver's seat to show you that you can do it and you can do it well.
Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been really enlightening. I think that this will be of interest to my listeners for sure. And just sort of hearing about how TAN is supporting us and it sounds like in a really beautiful family-centered way. So thank you for that.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure to be with you today. And
meeting you. Yeah, it's fantastic. Okay. God bless.
You talk too. Soon. Okay, bye-bye.